This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
They have 5 married daughters, 27 grandchildren, and just a few great-grandchildren. Claire and Clara, in desiring to help families and people heal, both got their master's in counseling, master's degrees in counseling, and Claire went on to get a doctorate, and God opened doors for them to travel throughout Canada and further north into the Canadian Arctic, training counselors and ministering to families and people throughout Canada. Throughout the Arctic, into Alaska, but they've also been south where it's warmer. They've worked in Arizona, in Belize, in Haiti. Much of this was traveling with their family, with their daughters, and ministering to people. They're passionate about family life, about healing of relationships, and about the role of a father in the home. Claire and Clara enjoy each other, and have learned to keep short accounts. They thrive on each other's love. So hopefully we'll get a glimpse of that this afternoon. Let's give our attention to Claire and Clara. Claire, you want to come up? I'll pray for you.
Thank you.
I need it too.
Well, you can come up.
Oh, you need prayer too.
I really do.
Father, I thank you for Claire and Clara, and for what they're about to share, and I ask that you'd give them clear thought and clear speech, and that you would open our hearts to hear what it is that you would have us hear. Also ask for grace for Claire's voice, that you'd give him strength in speaking today, and that you'd bless each one in the audience according to your good pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't mind minus 50. But I sure don't like what I had Monday, drizzle and cold and rain around here and wind, and I woke up Tuesday morning with a cold and I can't shake it. I have to go back to the Arctic. Anyway, in the meantime, well, may God, if I keep sucking lozenges, and if I can't make it, my wife will finish, right? Oh, she's not sure about that.
Depends where it is.
Depends where we are. Well, anyway, we have 5 children, you already heard, 5 daughters, and Carolinas, they live under the CN Tower in Toronto, working with First Nations people down there, and this is Mark and Mary, they're around here, they might even be in the room, I don't know if I've seen them, but they're in charge of Beaver Lake Counseling Center, and then Judy and Dwayne work with visiting communities, First Nations communities, and Steve and Sharon, they work in the Kenora prison, and then Sam and Kathy, they're with Life Ministries. So we thank God that all of our 5 daughters and son-in-laws are in some kind of Christian service. And then I'm the chief, and she's the vice chief. If I die, they'll have somebody to look to. But anyway, yes, as we already told you, we do travel a lot. We live in Dryden, Ontario, and we started teaching family life in this part of Canada, then into Alaska and the Arctic with our girls, and in all the way down to Panama Canal, the Kuna Indians, those where they have those big nose rings in their nose. We had portable genders. That was exciting. So the Lord has also taken us to Greenland, all around Greenland. We brought a significant change in 10 years to the churches in Greenland. And now Brian Wind and his team are teaching all these courses in Greenlandic. All the manuals have been translated into Greenlandic. We thank God for that. Now we're moving into Finland, training people in Finland to take these courses into Arctic Russia. Next August, we'll be going up to northern Norway, where the Sami people, the reindeer herders from Siberia and other areas across Arctic there, will be meeting, and we'll see what can be done. We thank God for airplanes that have taken us around. I was the pilot, and she was the co-pilot or whatever you call her, but she had training to land it. She said, if you have a heart attack, I want to know how to get the airplane at least to the next airport. She landed the airplane twice. She had quite a few hours in the simulator. But anyway, I didn't die yet. So, and we sold it in December. When I turned 80, I decided, well, I'll just fly the smaller stuff. God kept me alive all those years. Greenland's a beautiful place. Lots of ice. Greenland's icy mountains, grade 8, summer Bible school. We had lessons on the Apostle Paul's journey, and they had the song Greenland's Icy Mountains, and I never thought I'd get there, but I got to see them again and again and again, and thank the Lord for that. If Satan can capture one family, one generation, he will own all the generations that come after it. Unless Jesus comes in and they begin to change their way of living, they can create a godly heritage. Jesus makes a difference. Jesus makes a difference. The joy of husband-wife relationships. Why did you marry me anyway?
Because I loved you. I liked, I really was enjoying our times of talking together.
You still like our times of talking together?
Much more even.
Back then?
Much more now.
Much more now.
Because there's more talking. At least I'm talking more.
Oh. You're talking more now?
Right.
Well, how was it when we got married?
It was more one-sided, too much one-sided.
I did more talking than you.
Yeah. Because I'm going to stand here.
You what?
It feels funny talking down there.
Oh.
Because I don't know who's here.
Pardon?
Anyway, I feel that things have changed a lot about after we had major problems.
I mean, we both got depressed?
Big time.
10 years after marriage?
Right.
And but she'd read these books on personal types. She said, oh, this is mine, the nice, quiet, good girl. But she wasn't born a nice, quiet, good girl.
Well, no, but I wasn't born bad. Go ahead.
Go ahead where?
I don't know.
I'll call you up later.
Okay.
Make life interesting. There's a fundamental truth. God speaks with men first in the Old Testament to Abram, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, David. But womanhood is precious and has dignity and worth. Womanhood is seen in Eve, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Rahab, Miriam, Naomi, Ruth, Esther, Phoebe, Lois. Marvelous women. The New Testament, in the New Testament, now the church is the bride of Christ. Maybe I can turn to Revelation 3:20, and we get a metaphor of what God intended, because in Revelation 3:20, I bought this Bible in 1957 after I got saved. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. Jesus is the bridegroom. We're all female when it comes to the bride of Christ. Jesus just knocks. He's a gentleman. He never forces himself into anybody's heart. We men should run from that. Never force yourself on our wives. Invite, knock, invite, and wait for the response. That's how Jesus does it with us. He knocks and pleads and lets us know his passionate desire to enter our hearts and to commune with us. He's a gentleman, and we respond. Yes, the church is the bride of Christ. This spirit-filled imagery is not to be shuffled about and rearranged according to our culture, to changing social whims, or to politically correct preferences. Fundamental truth. God calls a woman to groan. After the fall, God calls the woman to groan in bearing relational life. And we had five daughters. I was present for four of the births. Lots of pain. But then there's something angrily speaking and moving in a woman that longs to rest. To rest. Now, Adam sinned and God put thorns and thistles in the ground, so we have to work hard. So a fundamental truth, God calls a man to groan in producing and providing food through painful toil. Thorns and thistles will always be there to block a man's ability to provide food and require hard work, sweat. Now the common problem is men have problems with initiating and leading. Men have problems with initiating and leading. Women have problems being the responder and the helper. Men want to wimp out. Women want to take control. That's a tendency in depravity. And then we have too many bossy women and too many wimpy men. So, man is more of a one side of passive avoider, does nothing, or the aggressive, angry avoider. Men tend to run from intimate relationships. Unsaved men too, unsaved. So, women tend to be more of a helpless controller or an emasculating controller. And in depravity, without healing from their own issues, men were either passive or aggressive. To be loving, caring men is difficult. And that's what we want to aim for. The women, the more helpless, the helpless controller, oh, I'm so weak, look after me, care for me, or the masculine controller. So I want to put them on your sheet on the continuum. We have the passive avoider. On one end, and the first man I want to describe, unredeemed man's relational styles, the little boy man. He says nothing, does nothing, he just is there, or he's out with the buddies. He just doesn't do anything with the family. He's got his own hang-ups, his own problems, his own negative relational styles. Then there's what we call the good boy man. Oh, he'll buy his wife gifts and buy a new washing machine or automatic washer. He'll buy the children toys and give them toys. But he can't give his heart. He can't give his heart in meaningful ways of connecting. He can give things by his heart. Moving up the continuum, what we call the distant boy man. Yeah. He's not there relationally, but he's almost always gone. In the olden days, with among the native men, they'd be out in the trap line, and they'd come home, they'd get in arguments with their wife, so they'd take off again. They're supposed to be home for a week, but they're only home a day or two, and get in arguments with the wife, so they take off. Yeah, they supply for their family. They see that they have food, clothing, and all that. But relationally, they're distant, and they're gone more than they're there. They could be gone with the boys, the guys, too. And then there's the macho boy man. The macho boy man. Now, he's the tough, angry guy, like I was. And it's his way or the highway. And das ist nicht gut. If you don't know German, well, anyway, that's not good. I don't know any German. That's about all I know. But she spoke German until she went to school. So if you want to speak German with a wife, Heidoch. Heidoch? Hochdeutsch. Okay. So these are four non-relational types of men. I was here, I don't know where you see yourself, but anyway. Now, Clara's gonna come and talk to you about four types of negative relational styles for women.
For a woman, the biggest need we have is to be safe. And for men, the big need for them is significance. And for us as women, us as wives, it's so important for us to speak into their lives. And that's why we have Ephesians 5:33, to speak to our husbands with, it says reverence, respect. But what it really means, there's lots of words for that in the Amplified. You can find that, women. That's your job description. So for us, we want to be, our big need is to feel safe. Do I have the right color?
Yes.
It's yellow.
It's
okay?
Up. Go ahead.
Okay. Safe.
Oh,
safe,
no, wrong
secure.
Yellow.
Wrong color?
Wrong yellow.
Where do I go?
Ink.
Ink yeah. Color.
Oh, try it again. I just slide it across.
Red.
The dark, right there, that one.
This one?
The gold.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Okay, safe. No, that's the same one. I think I need a red.
All right, let me try it.
I can do it.
You can?
Yeah, I can.
Since when?
Well, it looked like I could. I can do the red.
All right, try red.
Okay, safe.
Got it. All right.
Can you see it better?
Sure.
Okay, safe. But the only way that I, as a woman, can make sure my life is safe is I make sure, and so I control. And how do we as women control? And when I'm finished, I'm going to ask you where you see yourself. And, you know, some of you might be brave in such a large group to say where you see yourself. I'll tell you where I am. I used to be. I've come, anyway. Where do I go, Claire? Here. The little girl. Women can control as little girls. And I've counseled so many from Christian homes, women who have had a mother wound, where the mother was just always just so weak, and she'd say things like, you know, if things don't straighten up around here, mother's going to get sick. In fact, I might even die. They can use those kinds of, they don't know they're doing it, but it's a way of controlling. And then the children, they don't want their mother to be sick. So they really make sure they shape up and they really start helping around there, and it makes a difference. And then sometimes women can get the example from their mother, and the same way when they get married, even though they don't want to. The next one is the nice girl woman. And there's nothing seems wrong in that one, but she hates conflict. And she will try her best in the home to make sure everything is going well, the children are behaved, and she doesn't want the father to get upset about anything. So she just tries really hard to make the children nice. And, you know, for me, I hated conflict. I hated, I didn't think our girls, we have five girls, I didn't think they should have any problems. Well, when they had, you know, they'd start crying and talk, come to me, and I didn't think I could help them because I was believing a lie for a long time that what I had to say was not important. And so I lived my life that way, and I was just nice. And so, you know, the poor girls, they say that they have so many, you know, the way I try to make them happy was I'd read a story, or I'd
play games.
And it was good, and play games.
Our cupboards are full of games. You want
yeah.
some?
They are full of games. They still are, but now I think I'm using them in control. But that was my way of trying to make sure my family was good. I wanted them to be nice, and if they didn't give any problems, well then, later after a while, I used to say, I didn't feel I had anything to offer my daughters, and so when they'd have problems, I'd say, talk to Dad. Now, that was sort of good advice, but the reason I did it was because I felt so unsure of myself, and so I'd say, talk to Dad. And he has answers, and he did, and he did a very good job. Claire told you that his problem was with anger. And in the beginning of our marriage, I agreed with him, blamed any problems our children had on him.
Yeah.
Because he was angry. And I had no idea. And so I sort of took that as, yeah, he needs to work on stuff. But for myself, I just didn't know how to change. And I was just trying so hard to be just, a woman that can keep things in control. I had no idea. I was doing it to be safe. Well, then there's another kind of a woman, a busy girl woman. I'll never forget. I went to this after I'd dealt with some of my wounds, and I was starting to relate more, better, and with women even. And I went to this home, and I thought, now this woman I'd like to really get to know. And so she said, and she invited me to come and have coffee, and she was going to make some muffins. So as soon as I got in the door, she set me at the table, she gave me a cup, she poured my coffee, she put a muffin in front of me, and then she went in the kitchen and got herself a cup, and she sat down for a minute, and then she said, oh, I have to get up. I'll be right back. And she had to go and make a phone call, and then she sat and I was eating my muffin and I was drinking my coffee, and when she came back, I was finished my coffee, and immediately she didn't even sit down. She took my cup and she went and washed the cup and the saucer. And we never did really sit down to talk. She was a typical busy girl woman. And there's lots of them. You know, their poor husband, he might say, can we sit down and just chat a while? And she'd say, sure. And so they sit down, and then she has to get up and make a phone call, and then she really has to put the wash in the washer.
But they don't know how to relate.
They don't know how to relate because of the pain in their heart. And then there's the tough girl woman. And do you know who's the boss in that home? And she, tells her husband what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And I've been in homes like that, where even when a stranger comes in and I'm talking to her, she'll invite the stranger in and say, I really want this curtain put up. Could you help me do that quickly? She hasn't even talked to him yet. I've seen that happen. A tough girl woman. The helpless controller, that's one part of the continuum. The emasculating controller. That's a woman who, if it's her father, it's her brother, could be her husband, could be, brother. She takes the masculinity by how she relates out of him. And so, as you've seen, I was the big time nice girl woman. When I had no idea I had much pain, but as I went for help after our depression, I understood why that little girl, little Clara, was so quiet as a little girl from a family of 12. As a teenager in high school, I just did not rock the boat anywhere. And I thought it was just me. I thought I was born that way, but I wasn't. God did a good number on me.
I thought I was born angry. All Germans are angry, don't you know that? All Germans are angry, don't you know that? I'm German, so I was born angry. I used to believe that.
Do any of you women, just from where you're sitting, where do you see yourself? what's your tendency? Maybe you're all redeemed completely. No problems in the home. Where do you see yourself, that even if it's your tendency? Anybody? Which one? Nice girl. Nice girl? No? Busy and tough. Okay. Anybody else? We got some very brave girls here. Anybody else? Busy? Okay. What about the men? You didn't ask them.
No, women go first.
Shall we go back?
Yeah, we should go back.
Or is it?
No, that's forward.
Yeah.
Just go back a while.
Woo!
Oh, no, you took them all away.
There.
Oh. You're getting it.
There.
You can just leave the angry macho guys off. But anyway. This cough. Pardon.
Go ahead.
Well, I told you where I was. So anybody else want to say where they, any guys want to say where you are? Little boy man, good boy man, distant boy man, macho boy man. We could ask the wife what she thinks. No, we won't do that.
Good boy.
Good boy.
Anybody?
Good boy, thank you. Macho. Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks for your comments on that. And now we're going to marry these guys, these guy and girl here. Eh? We'll go here, there, just right way out. So we marry the macho boy man and the tough girl. What kind of home do we have? Pardon?
Very noisy.
Very noisy.
Stormy.
Stormy.
Yeah.
Nobody listens, everybody talks.
Sparks fly.
Pardon?
Sparks fly.
Sparks fly?
Oh, yeah.
Sparks?
And sparks fly, right.
Yeah. Dishes, maybe.
Some people call it World War III. And it's not a very exciting place to be. As we travel on, we get to some of these homes.
Not as many as some of the other that you'll see.
All right, so let's marry Claire and Clara, the macho boy man.
No, I think you have to push another button, don't you?
Oh, that's the dominant emotion is anger, rage.
Yeah.
It's a chaotic home.
Now marry Clara. Oh, now, which one? No, those get married first.
Oh, we marry the tough girl and the little boy man.
Yeah.
So what kind of a home do we have here?
That's right.
Who calls the shots? The woman. He just says, yes, ma'am, you don't even say that. And those are not very happy homes to visit in either.
No.
He sits there like a bump in the log and she's doing all the talking. Well, now we'll marry, well, that's the dominant emotion there is shame. Very oppressive home. Now we marry Claire and Clara. And what kind of a home do you have there? Is there much dialogue? Is there much conversation going on? You know, do it my way or the highway. I didn't say that, but that's really what was happening. No, yeah. The compliant home. And the dominant emotion there is fear. Anger, rage, shame, fear. So if you're going to marry the little boy man and the little girl woman, what kind of a home do you have there? Nothing much happens. Everybody has their own iPhone, iPad, or whatever. And this even goes on way up in Eskimo country. They don't even have money for food, but they have iPads and iPhones. I don't understand it, but the way it goes. There's something, I don't know. Don't get on that topic. Anyway, nothing happens. Everybody does their own, everybody lives in their own world. And what would be the dominant emotion in this home? Everybody feels bad. Guilt. It's a dull home.
That's it.
I'll take it for a little bit here now. You want to say something?
No.
Oh, that's you want this?
Yeah.
My people, hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. These are the kinds of relational styles that are not good for the children, not good for the marriage, and just there's no meaningful relationships. So there needs to be a chosen willingness to repent of those negative, unredeemed relational styles that we bring into our Christian lives, into Christian homes. Men and women need to heal from their past hurts and repent of their wrong relational styles, of their negative SORs of relating, and learn new godly styles of relating. Godly styles of relating. They need to come to their senses of what's going on in these kind of homes. Like a prodigal son, get up and go to the Father for healing and repentance for these negative styles of relating. A willingness to be embraced by the Father, to receive forgiveness and be kissed by the Father. A coming, a willingness to celebrate forgiveness. The path of the redeemed man and redeemed woman will be a new path and more godly styles of relating. So we're in the other diagram on your paper. At first, when I began to understand the negative styles of relating in my home, in my marriage, I was uncertain, but I knew where I was going. I wanted to be a loving, caring man, but was uncertain. And then as I kept working at things and kept growing and meeting with my mentors, I always had two or three mentors or tormentors to help me in life. Jesus had three, Peter, James, and John, right? If he needed three, I need three too. We cannot hack in this world alone. We need men who will walk with us. Now, all the older men I used to have dying, so I have to depend upon younger men. That's humility too. Anyway, I became more predictable. And you know, when I come home, by the sound of my feet on the porch, the girls would know if they should go outside, go upstairs, they could tell daddy's mood by their steps. And so, if I was a new man, new daddy, they would be there giving me a kiss. So that was the motivation to keep growing. I wanted to be a ministering servant man. Jesus was the leader of his disciples, right? But he also washed their feet. He was their leader, but he was their servant as well. He served them. We need to lead our families, but we also need to serve them and serve their needs and understand their needs. Take time to talk and dialogue with them. Understand them. Things changed when we started our act together and I started taking our girls for 1 hour a month, one afternoon a month. And Judy, Sharon, Carolyn, Kathy, Mary Lois, what were their fears, what were their aspirations, keep a log in their little book, and what do they want to do when they grow up. That changed a lot of times. But begin to know their heart's needs, ministering servant men, ministering to Clara's needs. Now, what about your ladies here?
Instead of making my life safe, God called me to be a responder, not controller. I don't have to control to be safe, because the Father is there for me, and he'll help me. And so what God is calling us as women is to be responders and not controllers. We do not need that. And I remember the day when 1 Peter 3:1-6, I won't go into a lot of detail there, spoke to my heart deeply. And I realized that for 10 years I tried to change this man. I tried so hard to make him nice like me. I tried so hard in such nice ways. Now that's in brackets.
It didn't feel nice to me.
I know. I realize that. You've told me that many times since. It wasn't nice, but I didn't know better. But you know, when the Holy Spirit starts showing me from Scripture how I was, what God is calling us as women, it's the first verse says, you know, how you submit, how you relate to your husband in a godly way instead of nagging. And we can nag in nice ways, women. And I tried so hard to make him nice. But God called me to be not a controller, but a responder. And at first, I remember, I mean, I knew so very deeply in my heart, God was calling me to a different path. But at the beginning, I knew I could trust the Father, and He was in control. And it was like God said, just let go of trying to change this man of yours. It's my job. And
that felt good for a while. Then God got after me.
Right. And you, when we have a longer seminar, we tell you that whole story. But at first, I knew God was calling me to it, but it felt, is it going to work? We're careful. We aren't sure. Will God really be there for me? And then what He's calling us to in the bottom of this quadrant is a giving woman, a trusting woman, a woman who is soft, not weak. Proverbs 31, woman is not weak. Soft, trusting, vulnerable, and spontaneous. That's how He's made us as little girls, as teenagers, and as women. But so many of us have lost that spontaneity because of the pain that we haven't known how to deal with. So this is where God is calling us to.
Now, you want to marry them?
Yeah.
Oh, you're learning to use that thing really well. All right. There's motion. We men are moving towards a new style of relating, more time to dialogue. We have to bust our schedule to make time for what's important. In my life, Jesus is first, she's next, children next, and then the native people, in that order. When I get that order out of balance, things don't go well. So.
And for us as women, God is calling us to, as I said, at first we're guarded, careful, but He's calling us to down, and this is where God wants us to live. And we don't always live there.
No, but we strive to live in this quadrant. There can be spontaneity, be spontaneous, there's safety, the husband and wife feel safe and cared for, and the children feel safe and cared for, and there's passion. There's passion for life. There's meaningful understanding of each other's needs. Spontaneous, safe, and passionate. Men. A redeemed man will be able to say, I'm free to choose to initiate entering with gentle strength and integrity into life and relationships with my family. I am free to choose to initiate entering with gentle strength into God's designed and God-assigned creational responsibility in order to defend and protect at personal cost and self-sacrifice. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. So sometimes men come and say, I like to talk about how I can improve my prayer life. First I say, are you married? Yeah. Do you understand your wife? No. Can't understand a woman. All right. Understand your wife, and then your prayers will be answered better. Mm-hmm. We guys get a great gift for understanding our wives. Our prayer life is enhanced. A great gift, a great motivation to understand these women that some men say you can't understand. I used to think that. That's nonsense. And my prayer life became more real and alive. What do you have to say about the women here?
For us as women, a redeemed woman, a woman who really trusts her Father, will be able to say, I am free to choose to actively respond in order to cultivate and express my inner beauty, the gentle, gracious kind that God delights in. This life of holy beauty will captivate others.
And me.
For sure. I am free to choose to rest, and we women are made to rest. Read the book of Ruth, women. You can do it in 20 minutes and find how many words of rest are spoken to us as to in that those chapters. And it's not used, I think it's once for Boaz. No, there wasn't anything. He couldn't rest until his job was done. You know, that's men's job. Anyway, that was extra. I'm free to choose to rest more fully and respond more spontaneously by going off duty about the realities of life that I have no control over or that are not my God-designed creational responsibility as a woman. I can do this because I know God prizes me as his daughter.
No, when I got married, I couldn't sing. I couldn't carry a tune in a bushel basket. She was a music teacher. All of her family were great singers, choir leaders, and all chorus leaders. And after singing with my family, I started carrying a tune in some ways. I don't know if I can do it today or not.
Maybe not.
We'll try it.
We can try it. But before we do, I'm going to tell a quick story. Do you have time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. 3 weeks ago, maybe it was only three weeks, maybe 4 weeks ago, we came back from a trip and I was exhausted and I was sick. And we got home Saturday night and Sunday morning. Late Saturday night. And I was so sick the next morning.
She couldn't go to church. I understood why.
And so Claire stayed home with me. And I just didn't feel like I could do anything. I didn't even feel I could raise my hand or anything. And I sat in the big chair, my big blue chair. And all of a sudden, guess what Claire did? He got a songbook, and he started singing.
A life songbook. You know those life songbooks?
And he started singing, and he sang, and he sang, and he sang. And I was just so weak, physically and maybe emotionally. And he sang for an hour. And all of a sudden, after about half an hour, I noticed he was keeping a tune. Completely. Now, he had been doing that, especially if the girls would sing on one side of him, and he could keep a tune. He had learned that over the years. But he sang by himself. He sang, and he sang, and he sang. And I started smiling to myself, and he didn't see. He was just engrossed in his songbook. And after a while, I started giggling to myself. And after a while, I just couldn't stop. I had a laugh. A good laugh. An amazing, I was so amazed at what happened. Now, I say all that, now we're going to sing.
We'll see how it goes.
Maybe we should get my whole family up here. You'll be okay.
Well, we'll try it. If I'm not okay, I'm okay anyway.
I know you are.
It's cold. We'll see how it goes.
Living below. Which one is it?
Living below.
Usually we sing one in all languages, but we'll try this one now.
All right.
Living below. We start.
Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for me.
Keep on.
What's wrong?
I just had a laugh.
This is the joy of marriage. Isn't that the topic?
Yeah.
Spontaneity?
I used to do that when I was a little girl.
What?
Stand in front of people, and all of a sudden I'd start, well, all my seven sisters, we were up there, and then we'd giggle and couldn't finish. Now I'm doing it here. I'm sorry.
She's 80. I'm 80 years old. She's 82 years old.
He's
but
catching
we're still
up
young
on me
heart.
Soon.
Park?
You're catching up on me soon.
Okay.
He's soon be 81. Go ahead.
I'm done.
Oh.
The joy of husband and wife relationships, you know? I think we're done.
Okay.
Anybody have any comments? We never did this before.
And that's it.
What was your comments?
Yeah.
Yes.
Was that set up?
No.
No. It was spontaneity. I didn't know she was going to laugh at, and I had to stop it. I was singing a solo. No, this isn't set up. It's just life. We ask the Lord to help us. Yes. Exactly.
That's right. Big
when
one.
When you have struggle with your life, you need God in the picture.
That's right.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Without God, we can't do it. That's why we have so many divorces. Multiple divorces.
And I remember the day that Claire went to a seminar. He came back, and it was about God created the world. It was in chaos, and God just spoke. And then what?
So what we were taught is, if you don't know what to say, there's chaos going on, the children are fighting, just start speaking words. Words have creative power. What did God use to create the world? Words. What did Satan get to get Adam to sin? Words. Just start speaking words, and the chaos comes order. Anyway, we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.